Welcome to the SEI's podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. My name is Will Hayes. I'm a principal engineer at the Software Engineering Institute, and it's my privilege today to interview a colleague of mine from the Emerging Technology Center, Mr. Jared Ettinger. Jared, welcome.
Hi, Will.
Could you tell us a little bit about your background, where you come from?
Yeah, sure. So I had about 14 years of intelligence analysis and counterintelligence analysis and operational support for the government. I worked in D.C. for a while. And earlier this year, in January, I moved up to Carnegie Mellon, Pittsburgh, and working at the Software Engineering Institute now.
So. Great. And so your field of work is in cyber intelligence in our Emerging Technology Center.
That's right.
And we want to make sure we differentiate cyber intelligence from cybersecurity, which is probably a term most people have heard a lot more of.
Yeah.
Could you help with that?
So the way we here at the SEI at least define cyber intelligence is the acquisition of information to identify, track, or predict the cyber capabilities and actions of malicious actors to offer courses of action to decision makers to enhance or protect their organization. So the long and short of that is basically cyber intelligence is more like a subset of cybersecurity. It can be a force multiplier to your overall cybersecurity picture or platform for your organization. It's something that you're looking internally in your network and outside in the world to figure out, okay, what's going on in my network and outside in the world that I could use to provide some analysis and communicate that effectively to a decision maker that could enhance our cybersecurity for our entire organization.
So I guess when most lay people think of cybersecurity, they think exclusively of how computers operate and firewalls and technical details.
Yeah.
The way you've just described cyber intelligence, it really is the many different modes of information gathering and processing.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably want to start off with like what are the needs or priorities for your organization? And then once you understand what those needs are, you're going to need to collect information to figure out, okay, this is what I need to know. Now I need to go get that information. And that information comes from, inside your network, those logs, all that data that you're getting from your SIM or your DLP or your IPS or your IDS, and then going out into the world and figuring out, okay, what else is going on, whether it's geopolitical relationships, whether you have business mergers or any type of situations going on for the supply chains out in the world or even cultures that your organizations might operate in or have people who are as employees to figure out, okay, this makes sense and this is part of my analysis and how I want to communicate that to a decision maker.
So the wide open nature of the field as you've described it seems really fitting for our Emerging Technology Center where we're really trying to be on the leading edge when things develop and find new applications and new uses for technology and methodologies that come about. Could you give examples of maybe a kind of fusion that you've seen in your realm?
Yeah, so some of the things that we're looking at the Emerging Technology Center is, advanced computing, applied analytics, machine learning. And so some of the things that we like to do with cyber intelligence is explore some of the newest and greatest technologies that are out there, whether it's be machine learning, natural language processing, IoT, even augmented reality and virtual reality, and try to figure out, okay, where does cyber intelligence have a place in that? And can those be a force multiplier for cyber intelligence and to help an organization, with its entire cybersecurity platform? So those are things that we're exploring and are interested in and looking at right now.
So certainly being housed within Carnegie Mellon University, a lot of the fields you just mentioned are really frontiers that other staff at Carnegie Mellon are pursuing.
That's right. I mean, that's one of the great things about working here is that we have either the smartest person in the world working on some of that technology right now, or they know the smartest person in the world, and we can tap into that and leverage that research and their creativity. So, yeah.
And so I understand that a model of work and transition that you're pursuing and have had some great experience with is this formation of a consortium that you've been working with. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you bet. So the consortium basically started, there's kind of a backstory to it. So in about 2012, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence came to the SEI and was like, hey, what's really going on in cyber intelligence out there in the world? Are there any best practices that we can learn here in the government? So the ODNI came to us and we did a study, and that study is called the Cyber Intelligence Tradecraft Project. And that study basically went from 2012 to mid-2013, where we went out and met with a number of organizations, government, industry, and academia, and we met with them and interviewed them and learned what kind of cyber intelligence are they doing right now, what does their program look like, what are the best practices and challenges they have. And then we wrote up a study for the DNI. So after that study was done, and that study included things like, implementation, collection management strategies? How do you prioritize threats? How do you train your analysts? Here's some of the best practices, et cetera, in cyber intelligence. But after that study was done, a number of those organizations that we met with were like, hey, we really like this idea of collaboration and communicating with each other. Is there some form that we can continue this and keep this going? So that basically started the consortium, and that initiative and drive to do that started the consortium in June 2014 timeframe. So that's what the consortium, how it started. And what we do is we basically provide a forum for not sharing indicators of compromise. That's really not what it's not about. It's a forum for sharing, hey, best practices and learning from each other and learning new technologies, what's going on in the world, and how they can apply that to their cyber intelligence program. The other thing about the consortium is it's a venue to train. Mm-hmm. So we provide workshops where the people that are doing cutting edge work in the field can come and lecture and teach members about what's going on in cyber intelligence, whether it is IoT, whether it is AR or VR. And we also have these simulations that we run. And that's kind of one of the main things that we work on as part of the consortium, these simulations where It's a threat scenario where it can have a physical aspect to it, but also a cyber aspect to it. And analysts come, or members send their analysts come to get training and have to diagnose or navigate through, you know, a very fast-paced threat scenario and have to provide recommendations to management.
So on it's kind of like a capture the flag, but much more complex and diverse.
Yeah, it's very complex, and we make it complex on purpose to give kind of like a real-world situation where they have a limited amount of time frame to navigate through all the ambiguity that we give them, connect the dots, and try to make some recommendation that will stop the threat from happening in the time frame that they have.
And so they get experience hands-on with tools, and they get to hear about related scenarios.
Yeah, so they're getting hands-on experience with tools, and also the intelligence analysis, counterintelligence, and also being able to communicate effectively and to brainstorm also and think about how to go about approaching a problem, how to problem solve. So one of the things that we do as part of our training are these human-centered design techniques where the participants get to think out loud and communicate each other in ways that they might not necessarily do on their own, but through collective thinking and some affinity clustering or things like that, or bullseye diagrams, we can get the participants to think of some pretty creative ideas on how to navigate through that threat. But it's also just not tools and analysis, it's some of those softer skills, being able to communicate, being able to collaborate with other people on some of the toughest challenges, when it comes to cyber.
So you're doing more than helping people assimilate new techniques and new ways of doing things. You're helping them to train their approach and the human side of it in a way that you might not get from classes and books and such venues.
Yeah, because you could be the greatest cyber intel analyst in the world, but if you're unable to communicate with your findings effectively to management, it really doesn't matter.
Mm. And all of this in the context of where emerging technologies are being harnessed. And
yeah.
So you have a fairly diverse set of participants in this consortium, industry and government?
We do. Yeah. It's government, industry, and academia. Okay. Have joined in the past.
So without naming any of them, could you speak a little bit about the differences and perspectives that those different kinds of organizations bring to the table?
I would say that they're all kind of trying to figure out when it comes to specifically hiring, who do you really hire? Do you hire the IT very technical person that doesn't understand, really have that experience with intel analysis and how to critically think and connect dots? Or do you hire the individual that is the intel analyst and train them on IT? Or do you hire just the generalist? And that's a problem space that really hasn't been solved yet. And I don't think there ever will be a solution, because it kind of all depends on the organization and kind of what their needs are. But that's something that we've seen across government, industry, and academia. They just don't know which is there a right answer, and quite frankly, there really isn't.
So I've heard in different domains, it's better to hire a people person and train them in the technology. Other domains, it's better to hire someone who's very well versed in the technology and help them get more effective at the people skills. This is an unsolved question at this point.
Yeah, it kind of all depends on what you need for your organization. I mean, for me in my learning curve, it was the intel and the counter intel, and then try to get smart technically, and that's worked fairly well. But as long as you could have, I think a good thing to have for any analyst is getting into this field is at least you know, a breadth of knowledge on a number of technical issues, and then have at least one or two verticals where you're really, really good at, right? Or, mm-hmm. or at least you can say, like, I can speak to someone in this field, I kind of understand what they're saying, but when it comes to this particular area, I got a ton of vertical on it, and I could talk to it.
And so putting people with the various skills in those different verticals in the same room and having them do these simulations, there's some magic that occurs.
Yeah, I mean, we try to generate that magic by putting people with different skill sets and different backgrounds together and make them work together. Mm. And we also, what we try to do is purposely put information out there that would make them want to communicate with each other. Oh. And whether that's true information, misleading information, something that will happen, force them to get up from their chairs and talk to each other and say, hey, are you seeing this? Does this make sense? Did you try this tool? What do you think about this? And to have those discussions so that they can provide a decision maker with, you know, a comprehensive analysis when they come to that point.
So having read some of the feedback you've received from past workshop, it seems like this is something you spend considerable time preparing for, and the depth and breadth of what you're covering in these workshops is...
Yeah, I mean, it's a long process to prepare for the simulations that we do. For the one that we just ran in August of this year, that process started in January. We come up with the storyline with, you know, we do the, in collaboration with CERT also as part of the SEI, and they're very helpful in running the simulation. But the process really starts in January. So I can tell you that from the first simulation we ran early in the days of the consortium, that basically had 50 intelligence reports that analysts had to sift through, right? So for the second time we did the simulation, we had over 100. Okay. And they have to just go through, and they're being flooded with reports that they're going to have to, you know, figure out and dissect in a very short period of time.
So there's a time pressure.
Yeah, there's a time pressure. So it's pretty cool. It's fun. It's exciting. It's one of my, you know, most enjoyable parts of the job. So.
Okay. Yeah. So what other offerings beyond this do you have in the near future?
So I mentioned that we have the workshops, right, where we bring some of the leading edge people doing research and cyber intelligence. We have, they can come and talk at these workshops, and the members also come and talk about, hey, these are some of the challenges that we're having or some of the things that we've learned, and they share and they collaborate that way. One of the other things that we do here at the SEI is we build prototypes. So if a member were to come to us and say, hey, we really have this idea for a tool, but we just don't have the bandwidth to do it right now with the resources, or we really want this, there's new technology out there, we know it exists, but we can't have the resources and time to get to it, can you help us with that? So part of the thing with the ETC, Emerging Technology Center, we do is that technology transition, right? So we will help them build that prototype and spend the time to get it to where they want and demonstrate that so that it can be customizable for when we can deliver it to the member.
So this subject of tools is a perennial struggle for a federally funded research and development center. We often find ourselves having to tell our customers it would be inappropriate for us to endorse one tool or another. It sounds like in the space you're working, it's not even that simple, that off-the-shelf tools may not serve the same kind of role in the technology area you're talking about contrasted with others. So this experience of using tools and building them together is a much richer part of your interaction
with
customers.
Yeah, I mean, so you're right. Like, so we don't endorse any tool over another. But if a customer came to us and said, hey, we had this really good idea for a tool, is this something that you might be able to help us with? So I can give you two examples. One example was members came to us and said, hey, we were really interested in some way to better prioritize threats. Is this something that you can help us with? So we were able to build something that could help them do that. Additionally, there was, you know, how do you select a vendor, right, was the problem. And, you know, there's so many threat feeds that are coming in. There's so many vendors that are offering threat feeds. How does one organization select one vendor over another vendor? So what we helped do was not only build a framework for helping them to go through that decision tree, but also a tool that could help them figure out, okay, I have this much money. This is what I need for my tool. This is the space that's out there. This is the time frame in which I need it, and they can better select the tool that way.
And I suspect in the context of a consortium where we have information being protected and people's concerns addressed carefully, being able to share that conversation with more than one organization and have them learn from each other is probably a very powerful source.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the greatest thing about the consortium is that the ability of the members to collaborate and talk with each other. And again, it's not about sharing indicators of compromise. It's sharing, like, this is what works for us, or these are some of the challenges we have. How have you guys addressed this problem? And that's some of the, the members drive the consortium. And, you know, it's how much the consortium thrives on how much the members want to put into it. And they put a lot into it because they really do care about this problem.
And so the way we staff our Emerging Technology Center has to be mindful of this. So people with experience like yours really are needed to play this role. And you're not a person simply learned in a particular topic area as a university professor. You have more than that. You've kind of been there and seen the real world situations. Yeah. You have a number of colleagues who share that kind of experience. Could you talk a bit about the diversity of experience?
Yeah, so we have, you know, not only the members have their own, a ton of experience there, but within the SEI and the ETC, we have your really technical folks. You have someone like me that has more of an Intel counterintelligence background. You have data scientists. You have individuals that are really smart when it comes to cybersecurity, people that are just, you know, strict researchers that are really good at researching things. We have people that are experts when it comes to biometrics, when it comes to machine learning. So we use all of their knowledge and brain power to try to help the consortium and bring whatever knowledge we can to help the consortium and their problem space move forward.
And so there are other publications, webinars, podcasts that cover a great breadth of this experience, and I would encourage viewers to pursue that. Have you got a particular thing out on the SEI's website you'd like to plug?
It's funny you mentioned that. So we're going to be going around doing these information sessions to get the word out more about the consortium. We have an information session planned in DC. October 28th is the date. So if people can come, that would be great. It's if you go to our website, if you on the SEI main page, you'll see a link to it, and you can register for that. We're also tentatively planning to go to New York and Chicago as well to hold these information sessions. So so far we've got great turnout coming for the one in DC. So we expect, hopefully can expect the same for New York and Chicago.
Terrific.
Yeah.
So in addition to the offerings we've talked about, is there educational opportunities people could pursue with you?
Yeah, well, actually I teach a Introduction to Cyber Intelligence class here as part of the Information Networking Institute at Carnegie Mellon University.
Great.
It's a graduate level course. In terms of the consortium though, what we've been working on doing is getting consortium members access to particular slides of that course. So it's something that, as we move forward with the consortium, we wanted to, as, you know, make sure that consortium members get some of that material, because, you know, our goal really is training and education. So if we can extend what I'm teaching at the course in some variety to the members, then that's something that we want to do. So at this point in time, it looks like consortium members will have access to certain slides as part of that class.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for coming in.
It's my pleasure.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
This podcast is available on the Software Engineering Institute's website, as well as on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions about this subject matter, please feel free to reach out to us. Thank you.